there's a constant tug and pull against sacrificing as many people as possible or putting them on freeze so that you can sacrifice them later, and trying to figure out some alternative arrangement where we're not going to kill everyone and squeeze juice from their bones and feed it to one another like fucking vampires, which I really got to say, he nailed the vampire metaphor. I still think about it all the time. I actually just started writing a short story inspired by some of the gothic imagery that Marx has used to describe capitalism.
Okay. That's right.
But all that to say, the sacrifice, I really think and hone in and kind of resonate, especially in this final section, you know, with this discussion of surplus populations, of the problem of like what to do with the people that are here, because this system has unlocked and also necessitated the need for much larger groups of people to exist and to work and to need things and to be remade in one way or another to offer themselves up onto the market or be compelled to offer themselves up into the market.
Like, relating this to sacrifice is so interesting because I think it's so dead on, right? Like, and especially, yeah, because like when we think about the crisis, right? Because it's like, you think about sacrifice as a way to appease the gods, you know, to cause something, you know, cause rains or cause prosperity or but also to prevent things, right? To prevent the wrath of the gods, to prevent the world from ending, to prevent some cataclysmic event from happening, right? And of course, like, you know, there's a ton of social reasons for these kinds of rituals of sacrifice that you just talking about, and we can also see it as well in the way that surplus populations are treated and often sacrificed. I mean, like, I think as well, like, when I think surplus populations, I think of the episode we did with the host of Death Panel talking about their book Health Communism, and that book so much of that book is an amazing analysis of surplus populations, but also talking about how the sick and infirmed are treated as surplus populations, right? And we saw in the pandemic how willing people were to sacrifice those surplus populations, sacrifice them in a lot of, in quite explicit cases, to the gods of the economy, right? We have to sacrifice these people so that the economy can keep going, so it can keep running. When I like, that's what I think of when I think of surplus populations as well. And that's definitely a huge part of this, right? Is that like capital needs people it can sacrifice to keep the economy going, to keep the motor running, but also to either avert or deal and get to the other side of crisis. And it is that fact that, like, as Mal talks about here, right, that while there's no consensus about the, like, the precise causal mechanism of any specific crisis, what we do know is that crises are not the result, or not only the result of some like contingent and external shock to the economy. They stem from inherently contradictory nature of capitalist production, from inherent contradictions and dynamics in capitalist social relations, right? Like, the call is coming from inside the house, right? Crisis is producing capital is producing its own crisis constantly, and constantly trying to find ways to avert these crises, to get to the other side of them, to mitigate them. And so much of that does require sacrificing. It's also, as Mao talks about, that like, when we think of the surplus population, when we think of the industrial reserve army of labor, we have to think globally, because capital works globally, right? Capitalism is a global system. And so it's those imperialist dynamics we talked about in the last episode. It's also the fact that like as Mao writes, quote, "The majority of the proletarians excluded from the circuits of capital are racialized populations, immigrants, and inhabitants of the global South. In the global South, they are forced to get by as informal workers in ever-growing slums. And in the United States, the surplus population is managed by policing and mass incarceration with vastly disproportionate impacts on Black communities." It's like, that's also the surplus population, right? It's the people who are excluded from society, excluded from the circuits of capital, but still attached to them. Why? Because they have to be, because there is no true outside, in that regard. It's always you're always either inside, or you're trying to get inside, or what you're doing is in direct relationship to the fact that you are not inside of the circuits of capital, right? Like, everything is always in relation and relative to your positionality in the circuits of capital. That is what capitalism has been so successful at doing. That is like a core basis of economic power, is that your relative position to the circuits of capital dictates what kind of life you have. You know, that sacrifice that you were talking about is also necessary when capital does reach crisis. It needs to find people it can sacrifice, you know, and that sacrifice happens in a variety of ways. You know, it happens through this place in the book where Mao really gives a great rundown of what this looks like. Crisis, in a lot of ways, ends up strengthening the power of capital because it gives capital the excuse. It gives them the reason to sacrifice, to stop investing, to stop in expanding the standards of living, right? To do things like ensure to roll out policies that concentrate wealth, that heighten global inequality, that privatize public assets, that impose austerity, that cut taxes, that stagnate and decline wages, right? Like, these are all crisis responses that capital takes, where capital ensures it does not have to take the brunt of its crisis because it's able to sacrifice labor when those crises happen. And so having surplus populations ensures that you also have a population that can be sacrificed in that regard. And so it is interesting to see how, like, you end up, you know, we have such this immensely complex global system of political economy. You know, it's so complex. So unnecessarily complex in its operations. But at the end of the day, it also looks so similar to what we tend to think of, like, anthropologically or sociologically, as like more simple societies or more simple civilizations, you know, those things like sacrificing, right? The appeasing some abstract force, whether it's a god or whether it's capital, you know, like these kinds of things that we think of as the relics of simple societies, they exist in extremely complex societies like ours. They just take a different form. They have a different dressing, but they really do. While their material instantiation is different, their purpose is very much the same in these regards.
And that's why capitalism is natural. You know? So that's what I hear you laughing over there, but this is why capitalism is a global force and socialism and communism are not. Why all these other forms lost out. It's because at the end of the day, capitalism congeals with certain elements of human nature and sociality, which are hard to argue against, hard to resist, you know, and should be embraced, right? It should be embraced. I think that also
you've horseshoed your way all the way to being a neoliberal.
Right.